You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Y'all stand up. Stay standing, though. Yeah. Thank y'all. I want you to stay standing for just a second. I want us to begin our worship service. We've celebrated, we've called out. I want us to begin our worship service praying, or our sermon time, praying for Sutherland Springs Church today. I want us to do that, and I want us to just join together and to pray for them on this day. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed to us belong to us and our children forever." And there's things that we're just never gonna know. But we can make steps forward to say, okay, not why, but what now? And so our church, we've already given money. We've been in contact with the governor's office. We've been in contact with Senator Cruz's office. We've been in contact with the denominational executives of our state. And we have basically said, anything we can possibly do to help, we want to help. And so they know that. Yeah. We don't know what that looks like at this time, but we are just wanting to say we are willing and we are stepping forward to help. You know that Jesus was born when Herod was, he had issued a decree that all the baby boys under 2 years old would be killed. Jesus was born in the middle of that. And that was, in a sense, I want us to just take that symbolically and realize Jesus came onto planet Earth in a time of mass tragedy, of mass murder. He stepped in as the peace of the world in a time of chaos, the light of the world in a time of darkness. And that's who we are as believers in Christ. That's what we want to be about. So I just want us across the worship center, if we just hold hands together in unity, if you would, as we pray for this church, we just want to lift them up. And I just want to symbolically, us standing with our hands held, being able to pray for this church. Father, we come in Jesus' name and we pray, Father, for Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church. We lift them up to you, Lord. Would you strengthen them today? Strengthen the pastor today. Let their songs be the sweetness of the heart, Lord, in a time of deep grief. And we just come, Father, to just symbolically stand, hands held in unity, standing together, believing that you, God, can bring something good out of this. We pray for their hearts and their grief. We pray just lifting them up. God, if you want us to help in any way, Father, we'll get in our cars after this service and drive straight there, Father. We're just asking you, God, telling you we're here, we're willing to help. But Lord, we just pray for that church and we ask that you just minister to them, particularly this day. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Go ahead and take a seat if you would. Yeah, that's awesome. We are going to look into the scripture. We're gonna look at the Good Samaritan. If you got your Bible, I want you to look at Luke chapter 10. And I want you to have three things in your hand. One, I want you to have this book that you received at all campuses when you came in, or our Go Missions Guide that's got all our trips, and then your weekly guide here, your listening guide, so you can take notes on what we're going to talk about, of what God might speak to you. And then your Bible. And we gave you two out of three of those. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. We'd love to give you a Bible. We gave you two out of three walking in the door. So Siena, Cyprus, downtown Espanol, welcome aboard. We're just going to jump in here. Of us praying all throughout the city has been so awesome for Sutherland Springs Church. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. The words Good Samaritan are a part of just American conversation. It's a part of the world's conversation. People say a Good Samaritan, they don't even know it's in the Bible a lot of times, but it is. So they'll say, oh, that person was a Good Samaritan, or a Good Samaritan showed up, or we're going to have some Good Samaritans that are going to help in this way. Do you know that even in the state of Texas, there's a law called the Texas Good Samaritan Act? And it's basically, if you help out with something and something goes wrong, you're not going to be held liable for that. They want you to jump out to be able to help people. We saw Good Samaritans all over our city in our time of disaster with Harvey. But it comes from the scriptures in Luke chapter 10. Now, let me tell you the background of what's happening before we jump into the story of the Good Samaritan. An expert in the law, which would be one we would call a lawyer is going to ask two questions of Jesus. He's going to try to stump Jesus. He's going to ask Jesus questions about the law, and he's going to try to stump him and put him to the test. Now, just if you only hear one thing, don't try to stump Jesus, okay? Just don't try to do that. So if you get all big about you're going to question God, you need to be careful, because Jesus responds with a question. It's one thing to question God. It's a whole other thing for God to question us. And so in this moment, we're going to see, or the background of it is that this expert in the law, he's going to go to the law, and he's going to say, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is going to say, what does the law say? He's going to say, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is going to say, okay, you've answered wisely. That's good that you know that, but do this and live. And so then he comes back around and he says, the lawyer says, well, who's my neighbor? He wants to get Jesus again. And Jesus goes, okay, let me tell you a story. And he's going to tell a story in which a couple things are going to happen. One, the law is not going to be the lead of the story. Compassion is going to be the lead of the story. Because salvation, the lead of the story is not the law. The lead of the story is grace. We come to the law, we realize we can't keep it. We come to Jesus and we realize that grace is the only thing that can take us to heaven. The only thing that can change our lives is grace. So Jesus leads with grace and compassion, not the letter of the law. Secondly, there's going to be a hero, and it's not going to be the Jewish lawyer. It's going to be a Samaritan. Now, the Jews did not like the Samaritans because the Samaritans were mixed race. They were they had married with Jews. They had married with others. And so they weren't purely of one race. So the Jews didn't like them. So this guy is going to end up getting stumped by Jesus with compassion and grace being the lead and a Samaritan being the hero. That is not what a Jewish lawyer in that day wanted to hear. He wanted to hear the letter of the law. This is how it's kept, and you're doing a great job. Go on your way and do whatever you want to do. That's where we're going to pick up in verse 30. Verse 30 says this. Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, and fled, leaving him for dead. A priest happened to be passing by, on the other side. In verse 32, in the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Underline compassion in that. So the priest saw him and went to the other side. The Levite saw him and went to the other side. But the Samaritan saw him and went right to him. See, we've been talking in a series, a four-part series. This is part three. About God, how God wants to use everyone to accomplish everything God wants to do. So he wants every one of us to be involved. He wants every one of us to be a part of God's kingdom. Not just that he's going to accomplish everything we know in his sovereignty. He wants all of us to be involved. But many of us, we're passing on the other side. We're not involved in what God's doing and what he wants us to be a part of. So we have these two that are passing, wrong answer on one side, and then one right answer that's passing and going right there. We've been talking about everyone, everything, everyone being involved in everything that God wants to get done. And we do that by showing our attention, by showing our sharing our resources, and sharing our time. And when I began thinking about this, the way I got to those three things of attention, resources, of time, is I started thinking about my own life. How do I show love to my family? How do I show love to my friends? I give my wife attention. I give my family attention, resources, and time. Think about it as a parent. Parenting is not just you live in the same house. Parenting is not you're on one screen and they're on another screen. Parenting is attention is shown to that child. And attention is given. Tell me that story. Tell me what happened. Tell me what you think about that. Not just preaching at them. What do you think about that? Tell me why that hurts you. Tell me why that makes you happy. We do in our house, I've said this before, around the dinner table, we'll say, what's your high? What's your low for the day? Everybody around the table will go around. What's your high? What was the best thing that happened? What's your low? We want to give attention to everybody. Resources. If you're a parent, you give resources to your kids. It's expensive to be a parent. Time, you give time. Same thing in your marriage. You've got to give attention. It's not just that you're roommates, you're soulmates. It's giving your resources that you share things. It's giving your time together. So you ought to be able to ask your friends and family, do I give you attention, time, resources? Does that really make a difference in your life? Your friends, your family, and even the Lord, our attention, our resources, and our time. What we're going to see here is that the Good Samaritan gave his attention. He gave his resources and he gave his time. We're going to get through attention and resources today. We're going to pick up time next week. Number one, love offers our attention. If we're truly going to love someone, we've got to offer our attention. It's not just being in the same room. It's actually looking them in the eye and giving them their attention. Now, ladies, this is something that you love from your husband. Husband, this is something we've got to be able to give to our wives. It's not just hanging out together. It's talking in eye-to-eye contact. Love offers our attention. He went and showed his attention to the person that was on the side of the road. The Levite went on the other side. The priest went on the other side. And the Good Samaritan saw him. They all saw him. He saw him and went right to him and he bandaged up his wounds. He bandaged up his wounds. He didn't go to the other side. He went to that side of the street to be able to help him and to bandage up his wounds. Do you know that people are going to be one of three things to you? They're either going to be scenery, machinery, or ministry. That's what people are going to be to you. They're either going to be scenery, and that can happen in a big city like Houston. It's just people. Where are all these people going? What are they all doing? Why is all this traffic everywhere? Why am I always in a line? It's just scenery around. It's all these people around. It's all these people hindering us from doing what we need to get done that day. Scenery. Machinery. Well, these people are here to get me something. I need another glass of tea. I need to order this chicken fajitas. I need to be able to get this. You need to come fix this at my house. You need to fix this at my car. They're just machinery. They're just people that process things for us. Or they're ministry. How do you see people? Do you see them as scenery? Do you see them as machinery? Or do you see them as ministry? He saw this man as an opportunity for ministry, and he went and he bandaged up his wounds. Do you know that there's people around you that are hurting everywhere you go? Everywhere you go, they're hurting. How do I know that? Because all of us are hurting too. Life's not perfect for anybody. We look at somebody else and it seems like it looks perfect for them. There's something going on in their life. There's a hurt that's happening. But in our culture, our hurts often hide behind a smile. Our hurts hide behind a smile. What do? Somebody says, how are you doing today? I'm fine. How are you? Now, that's appropriate in social settings. I get it. I understand. You can't be getting on an elevator and say, how are you doing today? You're never going to believe what happened. What will happen is they'll begin like the Levite and the priest to pass along on the other side is what they'll do. But there are people not wearing our feelings on our sleeves, but there are people we need to say when they ask how we're doing, we really tell them how we're doing. We really trust them with that. People hide behind a smile, and I know that because we do too. There are hurts all around us. At your workplace, somebody is hurting. In your neighborhood, somebody is hurting. In your church, someone is hurting. In the paths of life that you journey, someone is hurting. But do we see them as scenery? Do we see them as machinery? Or do we see them as ministry? And to be able to understand that gives us the compassion. Listen to this verse of scripture. Jot it down. It's probably in your listening guide already, but jot it down or circle it. It's Proverbs. It's in the listening guide. Proverbs 14:13. I want you to hear this verse. Even in laughter, a heart may be sad. Even in joy, there may be grief. Do not believe everything you're seeing on TV, movies, commercials, and ads. It's not all true. Even in a smile, the heart can be aching. So we've got to be able to say, we want to be difference makers. We want to care for people. We want to ask people how they're doing. And we want to follow up sometimes saying, no, how are you really doing? What's really going on? And to be able to give that attention that is there. Our hearts and our hurts often hide behind a smile. And here's what happens in our society. Wounds aren't usually physical. Wounds are usually relational, they're emotional, or they're spiritual. They're relational, emotional, or spiritual. So we've got to come around and be able to help bandage up those wounds. It says with wine and olive oil, he gives great care to care for these wounds. So how do we apply this? We apply this by this. I want to be real clear. I got two applications for you. Here's our first application. Our compassion, not our self-preservation, leads the way. Our compassion, not our self-preservation, leads the way. It was dangerous to stop and help this person. The robbers could have still been hiding, but he stops and he helps them. This road from Jerusalem to Jericho was dangerous. It says here, it's actually to the northeast, Jerusalem to Jericho. It says he went down. What it means by down is there was a 3,000-foot drop of sea level. He went down the road to Jericho. And on that road, there was a ton of robbers that were there. So when he stops to help this person, the robbers could come out at that moment and get him too. It could be a decoy to set him up to be able to grab him as well. But he stops because his compassion is higher than self-preservation. Now, some of you are gifted with compassion. It's an absolute strong gift. I mean, it's like babies and puppies and you're in. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just compassion. Others of us have to work at compassion a little bit more. Maybe you're a little bit more justice-minded. But that compassion has got to be a part of all of us to be able to show the love of Jesus Christ. So he goes and he meets his need, and he's the good Samaritan that comes and shows compassion more than self-preservation. The Levite, which was one of the big tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, was kind of the religious priestly tribe. He went on the other side. The priest, don't think Catholic priest, this is before Catholicism. The priest, meaning of the Jewish law, the priest went on the other side. You know what that means? The two church people didn't do it. The two church people didn't do it. It was the Good Samaritan that was a lower rung, if you will, of society, and that's the one that did it. And what that means for us is we can miss it as a church. We can miss it as believers. We can get so into God's plan and will for my life, we think that he's got, his whole thing is about me, and we become actually selfish in our desires to follow the Lord because it's all about me and mine, and we've spiritualized our selfishness. When God is saying, look up, get your eyes up, and I want you to see that there's a world out there, and if you'll seek first his kingdom and righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. If you'll go for me and you'll go for ministering to other people, you'll find joy because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we've got this whole thing mixed around where we've got to say, Lord, I want to put my eyes out and look up, not looking just in. Introspection's good, no question, but to be able to look up. And so the two church groups, if you will, they missed it. And the Good Samaritan figured it out. I don't want to be a pastor that misses people. God has not called me to be a sermon-producing machine. He's called me to be a believer in Christ that loves Jesus. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Do you know that church can ruin your Christianity? Isn't that weird? Church can ruin your Christianity because we can get so religious and get so into the stuff and the do's that we forget about the people and we don't see behind the smiles to the hurts to really care for somebody and to go out of our way to give them the heart of God through us and to care for their wounds and their bandages. Now, man, I love church more than anybody, but I'm just saying when we get our heart with church focused on others, now we're the arms and feet of Jesus going out. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. So our lead has to be compassion, not self-preservation. Now I want you to grab this, if you will, this go guide, if you will, if you'll grab this, everybody grab this. This gives us one of the plays of our playbook of how to be a Good Samaritan. So it's not just talking about how, you know, what we're going to do with the Good Samaritan or talking about him. We want to do something about it. So you open up the first page, give you a bunch of stats of Good Samaritan stuff we've already done through Harvey, our church. That's you, that's me, that's all of us, which is great. And then through this, it gives you all of the mission trips that we've got going on through our church of all of our campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Espanol, Loop. You can go on any of them. You don't have to go to Cypress. You go to Siena, you want to go on the Cypress one? Go, that's fine. We don't care. We're just trying to put it together so it'll make a little bit more sense. So here's what we say in our church with missions. You're either giving, going, praying, or disobeying. Those are your four choices. Giving, going, praying, or disobeying. Let me start with praying. One, you could take, I did this last year and I'm planning on doing it this year. I took this very guide that we had for last year's trips and I went through it and I prayed for every single mission trip that we had that we're going on. So I sat it in my place where I pray. I had it right there visually where I could do, and I would read the paragraph about the mission trip, and I put a check mark by it. That did two things. One, it put a lot of prayer out there for missions, which was great. And two, I got the great feeling of a type A personality putting a check mark next to something. It was awesome. That was great. Check. I got it. So you can use this as a prayer guide, and I hope that you will. Pray for this. Put it in your Bible. Put it someplace where you'll see it, and pray for every single mission trip. It'll take you a couple weeks, but it'll be a great couple weeks of seeing all that God's doing. Number two, you can go. All these trips aren't for somebody else. They're for you. They're for me. They're for us to go and to step out and to make a difference in our lives. This will bless your children. This will bless your family far more than anything else to be able to go and to serve people. Or number three, we can give. I want you to turn to the very last page, the very final page of the back thing. We've done something in our church for decades and decades, and we're changing it up a little bit this year. We've done what we've called the World Mission Offering, and that happened in November and December, and we would raise money to give money away. None of it stayed at the church. We'd all give it to World Missions, supporting missionaries across the nation, across the world, to be able to do that. We do that in November and December. We're not going to do it this November and December. What we're going to do is we're going to move it to February 25th, and we're going to have one day where we want everybody to participate. And what we found is when you do it over 2 months, a lot of times people kind of forget along the way. We want to do it one day and celebrate it and come big and just go, let's do it. Let's go for it. Also, we know that this time after Harvey is very difficult for some folks. And so we want to be very aware of that and to be able to not push too hard on that. So we're going to move that. You got the date right there, February 25th, all campuses. It's going to be an awesome, awesome day for us to be able to do that. You're either praying, giving, or going. This is a Good Samaritan mandate right here. Do you remember last week when we talked about the little boy? We talked about King David week one, talked about the little boy that gave his fish and barley loaves week two, and then now week three, the Good Samaritan. What did the little boy say? He said, or the other people around him, the disciples, they said, number one, there was three choices. They said, somebody else will help. That's what happens in the Good Samaritan. The Levite and the priest said, somebody else will help. Secondly, I don't have enough. I don't have enough time to stop and help. I don't have enough money to be able to go. I don't have enough whatever to go to do that. But then the third, the little boy said, I surrender my barley loaves, my poor people food. I surrender it all to you and I give it to you. That's what the Good Samaritan is doing as well. He's stepping forward to say, I surrender all to you. Now look at verse 34 and 35. Verse 34 and 35 says this. And he went over and he bandaged his wounds. You see the attention? Pouring on olive oil and wine, giving up his resources is what that symbolizes, then put him on his own donkey. Not like Uber donkey, his own donkey, right? It's his own animal. All right, well, it says animal, but let's assume donkey. Own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper and he said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will reimburse you for whatever extra you spent. So he gives of his oil, he gives of his wine, he gives of his animal, he gives of his money. He opens up a tab as he gives of his time to take care of this person. Love offers resources. Love offers resources. We talked about love offers attention, but love also offers resources. Here's the deal. It's stepping out there and going for it. The Good Samaritan, what I love about him is he's a man of action. Are you a man of action? Are you a woman of action? Do you go for it? Do you get it done? When something happens and there's a need, do you step forward? Or do you say, well, somebody else will probably help. Well, I don't really have enough. Or do you just say, you know what? I'm not perfect. I'm just going to jump out there. We're so concerned as Americans with being perfect, we're not doing any good. You'll never be perfect. I'll never preach a perfect sermon, but I'm going to keep after it and I'm going to keep going for it. And let me tell you the truth. I don't want to preach a perfect sermon because I want Jesus to be involved in it. And I want my weakness for his strength to buffer my weakness. Doesn't mean I'm not going to give it my best is not what I'm saying, but to be able to say, Lord, I'm just going to do what I can do. I'm going to throw it out there, Lord. I'm just, let's keep at it. And we're so perfectionist driven that we don't even try unless we can win, unless we can be perfect. And I'm telling you, the Good Samaritan, he just stopped. He had oil, he had wine, he gave it. He had his animal, he gave it. He had some money in his pocket, he gave it. See, true believing becomes doing. I mean, do we know that? True believing becomes doing. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. It's like Nike, the old slogan, just do it. Jump out there and go for it. You're not going to say, I'm going on a mission trip, Lord. Where do you want me to go? And you're going to end up in Guatemala and God's going to go, I said Guam. He doesn't care. Go to Guatemala or Guam. There's people there. Any place you need to go. That's great. Step out and go for it. See what happens with that. Being a person of action. Look at James chapter 2, verse 14. I'll put it on the screen. You can look at it up here. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes or lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace. Very religious, right? Go in peace, keep warm, and eat well. But you don't give him what the body needs? What good is that? In the same way, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith from my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Do you know that the devil believes God exists? But the step forward of saying, Lord, I worship you and I honor you, that's not the step he's taken, obviously. So in this, we are doers of the word. We step forward as the Good Samaritan. We go to those who are in need. We step into those places with compassion, not just self-preservation. And that makes the difference. He gave his animal. Now he's on foot. He's carrying at the end. He's opened a tab. He's going to follow through. He says, on the next day is when he talked to the innkeeper. Then he says, when I come back, he gives up his time as well. We've been using this ladder. This has been a great ladder for us. Of action steps is what this is. Now, this isn't giving to, this is giving from. This is what is our heart and what are we giving our attention and our resources and our time from this kind of heart. The first kind of heart is a first time. It's the first time that you've ever given, and that takes a lot of courage and a lot of trust in the Lord. And so you're here on this first rung, and you've never really given your time or your attention to the Lord. You've never given your financial resources to the Lord. You've never given, but you jump in, and for that first time is an awesome time to be able to jump in. So you jump in, you say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to give him my resources. I'm going to give him my time. I'm going to give him my attention. It's a little bit scary, but then all of a sudden you're like, that was awesome. That was good. Then you move to intentional. What is intentional? Intentional is you begin to prioritize and to look and to say, okay, how can I be intentional about what I'm doing? So if you've never given financially, maybe you look and you say, you know what? Let me figure out, what would 2% a month look like? What would 4% a month? How could I grow in this? How could I give my time? How could I be intentional about Bible study in the morning? You know that 73% of us check our cell phones before we read our Bible as Christians in the morning? Being intentional is saying, Lord, I'm giving you this time and I want to hear from you. I want to be intentional. So they begin to prioritize, begin to think, you know what? What's my cable bill? What's my cell phone bill? What's my rent? What's the insurance that I'm paying? And then what's my giving? And I want to lead with that, Lord. I want to be intentional about that. I want it to truly be prioritized in my life. And I want to really look at that. Then you move from intentional. Some people will just max out here at intentional and be like, hey, look, I give my 10%. I've rung the bell. That's all I'm going to do. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for 100% of our lives are his. That we're surrendered to him. What is the little boy with the fish and loaves? Surrendered. What's the Good Samaritan? Surrendered. We say, Lord, you do whatever you want to do. My car's yours. My house is yours. My clothes are yours. My life is yours. My time is yours. I want to give you everything that I have. And so the Lord could take you higher in giving. He can do whatever he wants to with this because it all belongs to him. So this becomes to be a surrendered place of life. Then there's the lifetime place where you begin to think about your estate and you begin to think about the train that you will leave for generations and generations. What will be my lifetime that marks my lifetime? Will they say in my funeral, man, he or she really served the Lord. He or she really gave. Man, list all the countries they've been to. Here's all the ways they ministered to people. Will there be a lifetime aspect that happens with this? So what we want to do is we all want to just have action steps. Okay, if you haven't given of time, resources, and attention, jump in. If you have, then become intentional about that and say, this is a real deal. And we're intentional about everything else in our lives. We sign all sorts of contracts on everything else, and then we kind of haphazardly do whatever. Become surrendered to say, Lord, it's all yours. You just do whatever. Every pay raise doesn't have to be for me. I just want it to be for you. Whatever you want to do with it, you do what you want to do with it. And then I want my lifetime to be shown in my state, my life, and the ways that I'm characterized. I want it to be seen by that. So that this Good Samaritan, how many ministries have birthed from this story? That's a lifetime giver, isn't it? That the story is told forever and ever, the care that he gives. Let me tell you this. There is great joy in giving. When you give your attention and your resources and your time, and I know some of you squirm when we start talking about money and resources in the church. Let me tell you what, I've never heard a giver complain about talking about giving. It's always when we get a little bit nervous about it, and it's okay, I'm not trying to shame you. It's when you haven't jumped into that first time, you haven't become intentional, because it just hadn't taken that trust step. Take that trust step to jump out there and let the Lord do it. And what you will find is that it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And joy is in your life when you say, I'm gonna be a good Samaritan. I'm gonna see them, and I'm gonna step over, and I'm gonna make a difference in their life. I want you to watch this video, and I promise you, you will smile. because we're going to go all the way back to the NRG as being a shelter, and I want you to see the joy in giving in this way. Let's watch this together. Hey, Pastor Greg here. Exciting to be with you. I'm at NRG Center right now, and this is my new friend Arlene that I just met, and she's been on quite a journey. She actually lost everything and was here as an evacuee, and now is working to help serve. And tell us what you're doing now.
Giving out Bibles and giving out free prayer.
Isn't that great? So she's here. We got the Bible table here. We got 5,000 Bibles, 1,500 Bibles. How many do we have?
5,000.
5,000 Bibles on their way. People come and get here. If you'll pan kind of over there, this is where they get all their clothes, all their shoes, and we're right here at the entrance being able to give them the Bible as well. And what's been great, Arlene's been telling me that we've got a ton of people coming. They want prayer.
Kevin and I and Skylar and Amir went to NRG. We met Arlene, who was just is an amazing soul. And her car got flooded. It was a 2002 car. It got flooded. And then at that moment, the Lord just put on my heart, I'm just going to give away our car. Actually, my mom's car. Mom, if you're watching me, we're giving away your car.
All of us kind of got together to see if we could work out some housing for her, and she decided to stay because she said there was more work to be done in the shelter. Here we are.
No peeking.
No peeking.
No
I can't see. Tell me when.
This is good.
You know, the Lord says, when you seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, everything will be added.
Yes.
The question is, it doesn't say when, but here's a small piece of what God wants to add to your life.
Praise God. I've heard many stories about you, and they're all unbelievable.
Yes. Oh, God. Glory!
What do you think?
Oh, to God be the glory. God is so amazing. I was not looking for this. Oh, it's the sunroof.
This is Arlene, if you didn't know.
Woo! Glory! God is so amazing!
He is. Well, we love you, Arlene, and we are so glad to be a part of that. Members in our church, staff members of ours, to be able to just step forward and to be able to meet your need and to be able to see God doing His work. And it's us wanting to be the Good Samaritan in the next day. Wasn't just in the shelter with you there. It was 2 months later. We're still journeying with you and still with you. And so we love you as a church, and we appreciate you so much. And it's our joy to be able to help you as a church and as church members as well. Y'all just show love to Arlene one more time.
Thank you.
So good. I want to pray for her. So let's pray together. Father, we just come in Jesus' name. We thank you for Arlene. We thank you, Lord, that church members, staff members, everybody putting this all together. We're so excited about this, Lord. And so we thank you for that. We pray that you meet her every need, Lord, that she would give you glory at every step of the way. That people say, where'd you get that car? And she'd be able to just say, Jesus, and this is how it worked. And so just wonderful things. So we celebrate, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we give you praise, and we ask you to just keep ministering to Arlene, doing your work in her life, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes. Love you. I told you you'd smile. There is a joy in giving that cannot be even compared to the joy in keeping. And when we're able to see that happening, it's such a great thing. I love even our staff and those that are put together. I didn't find out about this until it had already happened. It was like last week. They said, did you hear about this? I'm like, I didn't hear about it at all. I mean, it's awesome. I love that. That's organic ministry, isn't it? Going out there to be able to have that happen. It's awesome. Let me tell you something that's so great. You and I have a place of application. Let me give you your last application, then we'll get to the rest of it next week. The last application is this: increase your impact by taking a step up in generosity. Increase your impact by taking a step up in generosity. That's what's so amazing about this. This was just a symbolic representation of us not saying, well, there's NRG way over there. Let's not go over there. It might be dangerous. No, let's get in there and let's go over there. Let's bandage people's wounds. Let's care for folks. We sat on, I don't know how many cots talking to people, sharing with people at NRG and at GRB as well, to be able to share and to talk to them about their story, to go there and to bind up their wounds, to help to take care of them. And then God did this amazing, great story. Increase your impact by stepping up in your generosity. Application point, what rung do you need to step to? Take a moment and circle that in your notes and say, I want my time and my attention and my resources of giving. I want to step up and really increase my impact. Because here's the truth, and I end with this. Jesus did more for you than that Good Samaritan did for anybody. He came to the side of the road where you were robbed by sin. You and I were ravished by sin. We were left spiritually for dead by sin. And Jesus came and he bandaged up our wounds through the cross. He died to pay the price for us, bandaged up our wounds so that he could restore us, resurrect us, give us life so that we could be a part of the end of the church to get back on our feet, to be able to minister and to go forward. Jesus paid every price. Jesus bandaged every wound. And Jesus came to you and me when we were dead on the roadside. That's the gospel. Yes, that's the gospel. It's awesome. And because of that good news of the gospel, now we step forward to show the love of Christ to somebody else. It was the cross for us and a car for Arlene. But the cross has got to precede everything, and that's what makes the difference in the heart. Do you know Christ is your Savior? If you do, are you living with a heart of going up the ladder and saying, Lord, we want to be surrendered. We want to be lifetime. We want to be intentional. We want to be a first time. We want to step in. Because I tell you this, as you saw in the video and you saw with Arlene, there is far more joy when we get to be a part of blessing somebody else than there is holding it back on our own. What's God laid on your heart? I don't know. Take a step. Go for it. See what he does. If it's to trust Christ as Savior, at every campus there'll be somebody to talk to you. If it's to walk with him in obedience, and somebody will talk to you as well. Join the church, be baptized, take a step, whatever it is. You just follow the Lord and know that there's people around you that you can minister to in a great way.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.